Okay, well, what I will do now, of course, is to say turn with the, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It turns out it's the almost beginning of Exodus chapter 6. You may recognize it. It's called Vayera, and it's Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. So while you're doing that, I'll just tell you what it is that we're talking about here. It says in the end of last week's Torah portion that Yahuwah said to Moshe, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Gonna bring the folks out by a strong hand, and he will let them go. And he'll even drive them out of his land." And then Yahuwah, or actually Elohim, is how it is in the Hebrew, spoke unto Moshe, and he said unto him, "Ani Yahuwah." And I have contended, and will again, that this is essentially the theme of Exodus. It is that he is showing them who he is. And he says, "Vayera, and I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Yaakov, as El Shaddai." It's rendered in most English Bibles as God Almighty, but it's the all-sufficient El. "But by my name, Yahuwah, I did not make myself known to them." So, in other words, they were familiar with the name, and they had no doubt heard it, but he did not make the signs and the wonders. He did not make it crystal clear, as he is fixing to do to them. And he says this, "I've also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojournings, wherein they did in fact sojourn. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the B'nai Israel, and whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have," the Hebrew word there is zakard, "I have remembered or zakard them and my covenant." Now, the interesting thing about this, of course, is he doesn't actually forget them, which is the opposite, we think, of remember, but one way to put this is he brought it to mind at this point. "So therefore I say unto the children of Israel, Ani Yahuwah." Now, we're going to note here as we go through this, this appears over and over and over again. It really is kind of the signature line in so much of Exodus, and indeed lots of other places in Scripture as well. But this is where we see it really brought home. "And I will," by the way, here are, these are called in a lot of the Hebrew Midrash, the four I wills. And they show up at Pesach and some other places. It looks like the adversary Hasatran tries to kind of pirate them at some point. "But I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people." And that Hebrew word there, lechak, it's the same root word that's used when a man takes a woman to be a wife. "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you Elohim. And you shall know that," here it is, "ki ani Yahuwah, I am Yahuwah Yirel, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I lifted up my hand to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov, and I will give it to you for a heritage." And here it is, the signature line, "Ani Yahuwah." Moshe spoke unto the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moshe, it says. They didn't believe him, they did not hear and obey, because of impatience of spirit and for cruel bondage. So Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said, "Go in and speak." Bo is the Hebrew word there, and we're going to see that one again too. Bo, go in and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the B'nai Israel go out of his land. And we're going to see a couple places where Moshe kind of balks a bit here. "Behold," he says, "the children of Israel have not hearkened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron, and he gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then it tells us these are the heads. So we're going to get another look at the heads of the houses of the tribes. These are the heads of their father's houses. Sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel: Hanoch, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. Sons of Simeon: Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yakin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Shimon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations: Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon: Libni and Shimei, according to their families. The sons of Kohath: Amram, Ishar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the years of Kohath were 133 years. The sons of Merari: Mahli and Mushi. These, it says, are the families of the Levites, according to their generations. And Amram took himself a wife, Jochebed, his father's sister, to be a wife, his aunt, in other words, and she bore him Aaron and Moshe. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Sons of Ishar, Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri, the sons of Uziel, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. And Aaron took to himself Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nachshon, to be his wife, and she bore him, we know the names of these four, right? Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Sons of Korah, Asher and Elkanah and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bore him a fellow who we're going to see prominently figured later in the story, Pinchas or Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moshe to whom Yahuwah said, bring out the B'nai Israel from the land of Egypt according to their hosts. These are they that spoke to Pharaoh king of Egypt to bring out the B'nai Israel from Egypt or Mitzrayim. These are that same Aaron and Moshe. And it came to pass on the day when Yahuwah spoke to Moshe in the land of Mitzrayim that Yahuwah spoke unto him, and he said, Ani Yahuwah, I am Yahuwah. Speak thou unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I speak unto you. So you're going to tell him what I tell you to tell him. Moshe said before Yahuwah, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken to me? And Yahuwah said unto Pharaoh, look, I have set you in the place of Elohim when it comes to Pharaoh. And Aaron your brother will be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. He, and tell him, in other words, that he shall let the children of Israel go out of his land. But you know what, he says? I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh won't hearken unto you, and I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my hosts, my people, and the B'nai Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. So there's a setup going on here, and he is literally saying Pharaoh isn't going to listen. But on the other hand, he will eventually do this. And furthermore, it is the is my intent. I'm going to show signs and wonders as I bring out the children of Israel. So Moshe and Aaron did as they were told. So as Yahuwah commanded them, so did they. And this has always fascinated me. It's kind of one of those indicators that there's a lot of hope regardless of what age people think they are. Almost. But Moshe was 80. He was 80 years old. This guy was 80 years old when he decided, or when he was told, rather, you have an assignment. 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke unto Pharaoh. So everything that happens after this point in Moshe's life, he's an 80-year-old man, and we know there are going to be 40 years in the wilderness. So literally you can divide his life into thirds. First third in Egypt, second third tending sheep, and the third we're going to see here in the Torah, delivering the people into the promised land, or awfully close. Yahuwah spoke then unto Moshe and unto Aaron. He said, when Pharaoh speaks unto you and says, show wonder for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, take your rod, cast it down before Pharaoh, that it will become a serpent. So Moshe and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so, as Yahuwah commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became it turns out it was actually, the word here is Tanin, which is a little different than a nakash, but it's rendered a serpent in English. So Pharaoh, he called for his wise men and his sorcerers, and they too, the magicians of Egypt, well, they did in like manner with their own secret arts. They were able to make some snakes too. For every man cast down his rod, they became serpents, and Taninim, but Aaron's rods literally swallowed their rods up. How's that for what we can do to your fake serpents. And Pharaoh's heart, it says, was hardened. Now, the root word here, and I always point this out every year because I think this is fascinating and important. Unfortunately, you just don't see it in the English. And that's one of the things that's always bugged me. We say Pharaoh's heart is hardened, Pharaoh's heart's hardened. But it turns out there are two different words that are used. And there's a distinction between them. It's important. You don't see it in English because it just turns out his heart was hardened. Well, there's two different ways to harden your heart. You can make it strong, like a lion, or you can make it stubborn, like a mule. And Pharaoh's heart in this case was strengthened. It's the same root for chatzach, right? Recognize it? Kazach. It's the same root as be strong and of good courage. So Pharaoh's heart was strengthened, and he did not hearken unto them as Yahuwah had spoken. So Yahuwah said to Moshe, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. Now that's an interesting take, because now he is using the other word for the hardening of the heart. And in this case, so Pharaoh thinks his heart is strong. Yahuwah is saying, his heart is stubborn. Kabod is the root word there. He refuses to let the people go. So go in unto Pharaoh in the morning, as he goes out under the water, and you shall stand by the river's brink to meet him, and that rod, which was turned into a serpent, you will take in your hand. And this time, the word serpent is rendered nakash, which is kind of interesting. So it's sometimes it's tanin, and this time it's nakash. And you shall say unto him, Yahuwah, Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me unto you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, so far you ain't been listening. Thus says Yahuwah, in this you shall know that, here we go, Ani Yahuwah. Behold, I'll smite with this rod, which is in my hand, upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned unto blood. And the fish in the river shall die, the river shall become foul, and the Egyptians shall be loath to drink any of the water from that river. And Yahuwah said to Moshe, All right, say to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over their streams, over their pools, and all their ponds of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So even if you got water stored, it turns to blood simultaneously. How's that for an interesting miracle? Moshe and Aaron did so, as Yahuwah had commanded. He lifted up the rod, he smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river became foul, and the Egyptians couldn't drink water from the river, from the Nile. The blood was throughout all of the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did in like manner with their own secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Again, it was made strong, kazakh. And he did not hearken to them again as Yahuwah had warned. So Pharaoh turned and he went into his house, nor did he lay even this on his heart. So all the Egyptians dig around the river, they can't find any water. What they did was is all turned out to be blood as well, so they couldn't drink. Takes 7 days. When 7 days were fulfilled, after Yahuwah had smitten the river, finally Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, Go on in unto Pharaoh, so it's bow again, and say to him, Thus says Yahuwah, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I'm going to smite all of your borders with Zephardim, frogs. Lots and lots of frogs. And a river shall be swarming with these frogs. They'll come up, they'll get into your house, they'll go into your bedrooms, they'll go on your bed, they'll go into the house of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading troughs. Wherever there's a frog there. And the frogs will come upon you, and upon your people, and upon all your servants. So you ain't never seen frogs like you're gonna. Yahuwah said to Moshe, say to Aaron, stretch forth your rod over the rivers, over the canals, over the pools, cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron did. He stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. The frogs came up, and they covered the land. The magicians, they said, Well, we don't have enough frogs. Maybe we can make some more. They did in like manner with their secret arts, and they managed to bring some frogs up too upon the land of Egypt. I'm sure everybody was thrilled to have some more frogs. Then Pharaoh called for Moshe and Aaron, and he says, Entreat Yahuwah that he might just take away these frogs from me and from my people, and I will then let these people go, that they might sacrifice unto Yahuwah. Okay, well, Moshe says to Pharaoh, Have you this glory over me? Tell you what, you name the time, right? What time would you like the frogs to be gone? I will entreat for you and your servants, for the people, that the frogs be destroyed from you at whatever time you suggest, and from your houses, and remain only where they belong, in the river. And what's Pharaoh's answer? Right? And this is fascinating. There's been lots and lots of discussion. Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. And the question, of course, why? For crying out loud, if you're sick of frogs, why not say, how about 10 minutes? How about now? Why wait until tomorrow morning? And you've probably heard it. I was looking for it. This was the song I was looking to play. It's kind of cute. We play it, once every Torah season. And it's called One More Night with the Frogs. one more night with the frogs. Because it's a strange request, right? Pharaoh can pick any time he wants. Why does he say tomorrow? And, of course, the answer that's given by the sages, I think this is a pretty good answer, is he's playing games with Moshe. He is saying, all right, look, you know the frog's going to be gone sometime. And I'm going to do something you don't expect. I'm going to tell you, not immediately, not in an hour, tomorrow. Ha ha, how clever am I? Answer, we'll see who's more clever. Because it's going to turn out that these are words also that are going to come back to haunt you, if you will. So, Moshe says, you have it. You know, you asked for it, you got it. Against tomorrow, be that according to your word, so that you may know that there is no one like unto Yahuwah. So Moshe isn't fazed. In other words, I don't care what you said. That's when they were going to leave. I was going to do that. And Yah is going to help me do that. That's the time that I will entreat him to make them gone. Frogs will depart from you, from your houses, your servants, your people. They'll remain only in the river. And Moshe and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and he cried unto Yahuwah concerning the frogs, which he had brought upon Pharaoh. And Moshe did. And Yahuwah did, according to the word of Moshe. The frogs died out of the houses, out of the courts, out of the fields. And they gathered them together literally in heaps. And the land stank. Imagine hundreds of millions of dead frogs. When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, however, made kabod. He stubbornized his own heart. And he did not hearken to them, just as Yahuwah had already said. And Yahuwah said to Moshe, say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod, smite the dust of the earth, that it might become gnats. And this is kin. Gnats or lice. Little teeny swarming things. No-see-ums is almost what we're talking about if you go down to some of the beaches in Central and Latin America. Through all the land of Egypt. Kin. So they did. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and there were ha-kanim, plural, like real plural, hundreds of billions of these things, probably gnats upon man and upon beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats throughout all of the land of Egypt. Now, this time the magician said, you want more gnats? Sure, we'll help. And they did so with their secret arts, trying to bring forth even more gnats, but they couldn't do it. This time they failed. And there were gnats upon man and upon beast anyway. So the magicians then went to Pharaoh and they said, you know what? We got a problem here. We can't do this. This is the finger of Elohim. Still, though, it says Pharaoh's heart was made strong, kazak, and he hearkened not, and just as Yahuwah had spoken again. So this time Yahuwah says to Moshe, rise up early, right when? In the morning. Stand before Pharaoh when he comes out to the water and say to him, thus says Yahuwah, let my people go, that they might serve me. Otherwise, this time, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of arov. What is that? Okay, well, most of the renderings say flies, but it could be any other kind of swarming bug would fit the translation here. So bottom line is, we're not 100% sure of the translation of the word into English, but it does sound like flies is not a bad way to put it. So there are going to be flies everywhere. On you, your servants, upon your people, all your houses, the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also even the ground where they are. And I will in that day, he says, set apart the land of Goshen. Now that is truly interesting, sever, to set apart. And the words here are always kind of interesting as well. It sounds like the word is at the heart of this idea of a ransom when it comes to setting apart. And, of course, we see that there is a ransom that is paid for us, and there is a ransom which has associations with the firstborn that we're going to see with Pharaoh. So there's a little bit of a foreshadowing here in terms of even the word itself. So I will set apart or sever in that day the land of Goshen, which is where my people are, so that no swarms of flies will be up there, to the end that you may know that, right, what? Ki ani Yahuwah in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division, again, here's that same word, pedut in the Hebrew, between my people and your people. And by the way, when are we going to do this? Oh, you got it. You asked for it, right? Toyota, tomorrow. That's when the sign will happen. So Yahuwah did so, came grievous swarms of flies to the house of Pharaoh, his servants, and all the land of Egypt. The land was literally ruined because of these swarms of flies. So Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and he said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, you know, it's not really appropriate that we do so, for we sacrifice abominations of the Egyptians to Yahuwah our El. And if we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, won't they try to stone us? We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahuwah our El as he shall command us. Says Pharaoh, I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice to Yahuwah your God in the wilderness. Only, just don't go too far away. Entreat him for me. Moshe says, I'll go out from you, and I will entreat Yahuwah that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. Only, let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yahuwah. You've been lying to us for so long now. We're a little bit gun-shy. Yahuwah did, according to the word of Moshe, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, his people. There remained not one. That's a pretty amazing feat, right? Pharaoh then hardened his heart, this time again, and he did not let the people go. And of course, the word he made kabod, he stubbornized his own heart. And notice there's a pattern here. Whether he is referred to as having strengthened it or stubbornized it, it's Pharaoh that's doing it. He's doing it to himself. Then Yahuwah says to Moshe, go to Pharaoh, tell him, thus says Yahuwah Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they might serve me. Because if you refuse to let them go and still hold on to them, behold, the hand of Yahuwah is upon the cattle which are in the field, on the horses, upon the asses, the camels, the herds, the flocks. There will be a very grievous murrain. And Yahuwah will this time again put a division, hiflah, between the cattle of the people of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing at all die of the animals that belong to the B'nai Israel. And Yahuwah appointed a set time, saying, ready? Tomorrow Yahuwah will do this thing in the land. And he did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died. The cattle of the children of Israel, not so much as one was lost. So Pharaoh sent, and behold, not so much as one of the cattle of the Israelites was dead, but his heart was kabod, stubborn, and he did not let the people go. So now Yahuwah says to Moshe and unto Aaron, get yourself handfuls of soot from the furnace, and let Moses throw it towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it'll become small dust over the land of Egypt, and it'll break forth as a boil and blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. So they took some soot from the furnace. They stood before Pharaoh. Moshe threw it up to the heavens, and it became a boil, breaking out in blains upon man and upon beast. Now, the magicians couldn't even stand this time before Moshe because of the boils. You can imagine hemorrhoids and whatever else they had. They were all over the magicians and all upon all the Egyptians. So these are the same magicians that said, we couldn't do it before. They're starting to see the light. Pharaoh hearkened. Now, this is the first time. It says now, Yahuwah, not Pharaoh, Yahuwah hardened, he made chatzach, the heart of Pharaoh. So up until this point, Pharaoh's been doing his own thing. But there comes a point at which, as a friend of mine likes to say, you can decide to dance with the bear, but once you start dancing with the bear decides when the dance is over. You aren't leaving early. So he has now been, had his heart strengthened by Yah himself, and he still wouldn't hearken, as Yahuwah had spoken to Moshe. Now this time, Yahuwah says unto Moshe, rise up early, you know when, right? In the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says Yahuwah, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they might serve me. For this time I must send my plagues, all of my plagues, upon your person, upon your hearts, literally is the Hebrew word there, and upon your servants, and upon all thy people, that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Surely now, had I put forth my hand and smitten you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the face of the earth. But in very deed, for this very cause, have I made you to stand, to show you my power, that my name may be declared throughout Kol Haaretz, all of the earth. And seeing as how you exalt yourself against my people, that you will not let them go? How is that, huh? Behold, tomorrow about this time, I'm going to cause it to rain, a very grievous hail. It's such as has not been seen in Egypt since the day it was founded, even until now. Now therefore, hasten, get your cattle, all that you have in the field, because every man and beast that's found outside in the field, when this happens, he shall not be brought home. The hail will come down upon him and they'll die. So this is where we see another interesting observation. And you can kind of divide these plagues into various sets. And I like to say sometimes what we got here is three sets of three plus one. And the one, of course, is the death of the firstborn. It's a bit different. We're not going to get to that this week. But we are seeing these plagues that, in fact, first, there's a separation. Couple separations. The magicians couldn't do it early on. And then there's a separation between the land of Goshen, where the people of Mitzrayim are, and the rest of the land. And now there's this. It's people that are starting to realize when Moses speaks, you better listen. So he that feared the word of Yahuwah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee. They brought them indoors, into the houses. Anybody that didn't listen, didn't regard it, that thought it was mis or disinformation, and they left, they did not heed the word of Yahuwah. They left his servants and his cattle out there in the field, and no good for them, right? Yahuwah then said to Moshe, stretch forth your hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. So Moshe did. He stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and Yahuwah sent thunder and hail. Fire ran down to the earth, and Yahuwah caused hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, it says, and fire flashing up amidst the hail, very grievous, such as had not been seen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Now, this is an interesting one, too, and I've made this point before. It is true that if you look at these judgments, you will see that every single thing here that Yahuwah is holding up and that the people of Egypt, as it turned out, worshipped, is being discarded, revealed for a fake God or whatever it might be, one at a time. And always, that's always fascinating, right? So if you look at the Nile River, well, the Egyptians held the Nile River to be a position of being godlike. And frogs, likewise, and lice, and some of these other buggy things. And now we got the two gods that literally are at war with each other, fire and ice. Right? Fire basically melts ice, and at least so as they believed, water would put out the fire, or ice would put out the fire. But in this case, what's happening is you got two sets of gods, so far as the Egyptians are concerned, that are battling it out. They're both in there. And that's yet another demonstration of the power of the real Creator and the real Elohim. So, there was hail. There was fire flashing up amidst the hail. Very grievous, such as had not been seen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and it broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So Pharaoh sent, and he calls for Moshe and Aaron. He says to them, you know what? I have sinned. Yeah, I have. I've sinned this time. Yahuwah is righteous, and me and my folks, my people, we're wicked. So it sounds like he gets it, right? Hey, we're almost done. Entreat, Yahuwah, he says, and let's have enough of these mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you don't need to stay any longer. So Moshe said to him, as soon as I'm gone out of the city, I'll spread forth my hands unto Yahuwah. Thunders will cease. There'll be no more hail, and you may know that the earth is Yahuwah's. You may know that all of the earth, even, is Yahuwah's. The flax and the barley were smitten, because the barley was in bloom, or in the ear, it says. Now, the word you may have heard is abiv, so it was whacked. And the flax was in bloom, but the wheat and the spelt, they were okay. They weren't smitten, because they ripened later on. So Moshe went forth out of the city from Pharaoh. He spread forth his hands unto Yahuwah, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the numbers were ceased, and the thunders had been ceased, well, he decided, what the heck, right? Have we seen this of late? Let's go send some more. There was no punishment, no consequence. So in fact, again, he hardened his heart. In this case, he made it kabod. He stubbornized it, he and his servants. And indeed, it says, the heart of Pharaoh was, this time it's kazak, strong. And he did not let the Bnei Israel go, as Yahuwah had spoken by Moshe. And you know what, folks? With that, the Torah portion ends. So we have the plague of fire and ice, And one more time, even though he said he would, I've sinned, Yahuwah is righteous. One more time, he strengthens his own heart, and he does this for his servants as well. And he doesn't let the folks go. And that is the place, again, where we approach the final set of plagues in chapter 10. We'll talk about it next week, and it'll be Parsha Bo.